Good morning, everyone. We'll begin with prayer and the communion class. I love the communion class. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence. And I thank you for how you help us to make all the adjustments throughout our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And that's one thing I wanted to, God put on my heart to talk about was adjustments. And we're still in Acts chapter 12. I turned to the wrong chapter. Verse 16. Last week we stopped around verse 16. Well, let's see, I'll back up. Verse 13. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them, with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. So now they didn't know where he was. And when they come looking for him, they wouldn't know, and he'd be gone, and he wasn't in jail. Now all this was astonishing to them. They prayed, and the Lord heard their prayer. Now it's time for them to make adjustments. They believed from the heart, they had with faith and no doubt. And the angel released Peter, miracle after miracle. The prison opened, the gates opened, and now he's out and knocking on the door. And they had, their mind had to register all this. And last week I mentioned how there were times that I believe the Lord told me something and it wasn't him. And this week I want to share some insight into that, what happened. I was in his presence a lot, and he taught me many things about ministry, but I had desires too. I desired a shop, and I desired a motorcycle, and I believe the Lord told me he was just going to give me one. All right, so, and I wrote down everything that I was praying for and everything I believe he said, just like I always did. I wrote it just like Mary wants us to write it down. I kept a journal, and I wrote it down. Then I found out that I was wrong. And I looked at it. I looked at what I had written and what I was believing for. But things didn't happen by a certain time like I thought it would. And I said, Lord, I was wrong. I said, what happened? How did I miss it? You know. Now, when you believe God for something, you follow through with it. And in ministry, you see the ministers on TV and locally, they sow seeds and people bless them. I know two ministers, one recently, people gave them a whole church. The last one, they gave Pastor Taylor a church for $1. And Pastor AJ, a lady told him about a church in the Woodlawn neighborhood. And he went and he wanted the church. He was going to buy it. And he got ready to make a payment, and they wouldn't accept it. This went on for about 3 or 4 months. They wouldn't accept it. Then they just signed it over to him. Now, things like that happen. But listening to testimonies from the time I started, by the time I was 20, I started listening to people's testimonies, and I started noticing something. When the Lord gives somebody something like a house, a car, or a church, they were always busy in ministry. They were always doing something. And then the Lord would tell somebody to give them something. And that happens. And but I noticed also they weren't just starting out. It was always they were in the ministry for a long time doing things. And then the Lord opened the door like that. Or if they had to move to another city, the Lord would cause them to sell, bless them to sell their house immediately and buy a house immediately to help them. In center up in his will. I started noticing patterns like that. But the mindset that God would give me something was there, and I got it from ministry. I learned as I made adjustments, I noticed that there are seasons of sowing and then reaping. You don't just reap. There's always sowing and reaping, no matter how it happens. In ministry, things can also compound. That if you're faithful doing something, the Lord will continually increase you. If you, as long as you're in it, you're working, you're doing what He gives you to do. The more you reach people, the more it compounds. Well, that wasn't happening yet. I'm just starting out. I'm just learning things, you know. But spending time with the Lord, I learned these principles that you don't learn nowhere else. And I had to make adjustments. Just like they had to make adjustments, I had to make adjustments. I said, well, Lord, how did I get off track? And, you know, the world, you have a will, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, pride of life. Now, the things that I was believing for was not wrong, but I didn't have the season of sowing in place yet. And in my life, everybody's ministry has its own dynamic. Some people are the Lord. They the Lord can bless them in greater ways because of what they got to do. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes, like in my life, every time the Lord said, "I'm gonna bless you with finances," in my mind, I would think somebody's gonna give me money, but it hardly ever worked out that way. I would get more work, and that's because of my situation, the way He works with me. Everything is different. And I said to myself, I got to stop expecting how God's going to do it. I just know God's going to do it, and He'll do it. And I had to make that adjustment. But as we do these things, you know, He loves us, and He has a way of, He does what's wise. Yes. There's always a season of sowing and a season of reaping. And sometimes, they say, if you sow, you'll reap. When I need more money it's just not happening. I sow more, and then I get more work. And if I don't take a break and rest, it takes me a longer time to get the work out. This is something I learned. You know, the Sabbath is a good, not only life principle, but business principle. The years that when I first started my business, my first business was a mobile auto service. I had a 61 model Ford truck. It's older than I am. You know. But and this was back in 87, I got that truck. And I got an 86, but I had it working in 87, and I was working out of that truck. I worked out of it for 8 years. But I would work every day out of it, and it was, the principles were all, But anyway, in the first years, I built that business up. It started from a Maverick and a box of tools, about the size of a shoebox, a little bit bigger, but then it grew into that truck, and I worked as unto God in that business, and I sowed and I reaped. Well, later on, in those days, if I was real busy, I would use Saturday to catch up. That's my thought. But if I took Saturday off, I made better choices the rest of the week because I was rested. But whenever I would work Saturday and sometimes Sunday, the whole week would be sluggish because I didn't have the rest I needed. And it took a long time to realize that. But when I took off on Saturday and just rested on the weekend, I was fresh in my thoughts. I made better decisions because in business, your reaping is based on how you sow and the decisions you make. you can make emotional decisions and it'll cost you, or you can make sober decisions and it'll bless you. And when you're well rested, you're more apt to make the best decisions. And those were the kind of principles I learned. And I had to make adjustments in how I believe God. But I learned this, don't worry about how he's going to do it. Don't that can really, you can be expecting it to go a certain way. It's happening all the time and you won't see it. Mm-hmm. You won't see his hand to work. If you're expecting to come through one door, at door number A, and he comes through door number C, and you don't realize you're blessed, but you are. Mm-hmm. And an understanding had to happen, you know.
Kenneth Bauer said this before, but that reminds me of Kenneth Copeland again. When God told him he was going to give him a million partners, well, he was figuring it out. Well, how's this what we're going to do? We've got to put this in, this, that. And God told him, Kenneth, I got millions of ways to get you that money. Don't sweat it. In other words, I'm saying my way, don't sweat it. Uh-huh. Because he had not only five or six ways to do it, he was figuring he had beyond he could ask for faith and ways to give him that money. Yeah. So, and God is that kind of God, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you don't sweat trying to get it to happen.
Mm-mm.
You just give him the faith to work with.
Yeah. And what he do for somebody else, the way he bless you may be totally the needs are different. And I, you know, like in my ministry, I don't need $1 million. I just need to pay the radio bill and the website and all.
But you're rich because that supplies you from your business and your family and your ministry, and you can give to others. So you're a rich man. That's the definition of being rich.
It's the same thing. You're doing what God gave you to do.
Yes.
And you know, when with God, I learned something that when I ask him questions and commune with him, and I ask him, I see why he does it for strategic reasons. He can do things just millions of ways, just like Mary said. But the way he does it is the best way. Even if whether it looks good or bad or you know not as good, that's the perfect. That's God's perfection.
Well, he is perfect, right?
Yeah.
Also at the same time,
by definition, right?
Yeah, he is perfect. At the same time, you don't want to limit God in your life. You're content in what you're believing and your needs are taken. You see God at work. But he also don't mind giving you a bunch of money to give away. So you follow me?
Uh-huh.
So you don't limit God, but you don't put him in that box.
You said a word that my mother taught me, contentment. That is a powerful element to prosperity.
Yes.
When we're complete in him, if you can be complete in him, you'll look to him. If you look to him, all things will be added. And he taught me this in communion with him. He taught me how that works. When you're looking at him, it's just like Peter's water walk in faith. If you're looking to the Lord, you can do things you normally couldn't do. Which means you can sow seeds you normally couldn't sow, which means you will reap what you normally couldn't reap. And that goes for finances, revelation knowledge, your assignment. He can give you, if you look into him, you can receive greater assignments. If you stop looking at him, you go back to you, and you can't do it. But if you continue looking at him, you can continue with the water walk in faith. Peter couldn't walk on water. No more than I could. But when he was looking at Jesus, he could. Same thing with ministry. When you're looking at him, you can do his perfection in at your stage. And he can cause you to elevate. Now, through all this, you're always learning and recording. We're just like children. We record everything. When you're looking at him, you're learning things. Looking at him is receiving his word. As long as I'm receiving his word, I can cooperate. Now, to help me out and give me a boost, I said, I will do all that's in my heart. I'm adjusting my will. I'm speaking to my will so my will won't deviate. Because it's done it before, and I don't trust it. I trust him. I say, I will do all that's in his heart, so I'll immediately be on board. And if I have him as my visual, I won't see my problem. And I see him. That's what following God is all. That's the backbone of following God. Then when questions are going to arise, I'm going to ask him questions about what's happening and why. And then he fill me in. Now I'm stable.
Yes.
And I want to do even more. Sometimes people are afraid just like when Ray prayed for the guy at the gas station, and he got immediately healed. He said, that's scary. The move of God can be scary when you don't understand it. Even the blessings of God can be scary. The first word I gave to a pastor was, don't be afraid of failure, and also don't be afraid of success. You'd be surprised how people are afraid of success, and they don't. So it causes them not to yield. But when you yield to Him and look at Him, you have that water walking faith, and you can do all things through Christ.
And that reminds me of the scripture: if you turn to Jesus, the author
of your
life.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
That scripture.
And when you have contentment, you don't need props and crutches. You're
that's
good to go.
In other words, you don't need to add something to make you content.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to seek to buy something. You don't have to have this new car. Uh-huh. You don't have to have.
And that is powerful.
It is very powerful.
And then you're going to get all that.
Content, you don't mind giving somebody something that you've got or some money that you might need because you're content.
Yeah. It's
biblically content.
Biblically content.
We're not talking about the old form that somehow we call contentment, just being lazy and sitting there and not doing nothing.
Yeah, you're always
and
emotional.
Don't be concerned about
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Out of your flesh.
Yeah.
How about biblical contentment?
Biblical contentment. You're complete in Him and He's with you.
Amen.
And that's what I love about commitment. Mm-hmm. It's a revelation that He's right here, right now. All right. I'm overboard. 1 Corinthians 11 and 24. And when He, our Savior, had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Contentment arrives from remembering Him. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And I thank the Lord for that. I worship Him. I love Him. He is. Every time He teaches me something, I love Him so much more. And when you look to Him, that kind of glory just, it gets on your life and you walk with Him. And this is, I love communion. All right. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your word. I pray that You are mightily moved this week. Help us to be that glorious, spotless, wrinkleless church that You're after. Help us to do all that's in Your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.